We are going to be reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23 for the English message. And I'm going to do this to you, but I'm sorry. Would you please stand if you're able to, because we're going to read this together. English Bible, page 869. So if you have your own Bible, great. If not, English Bible, page 869, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And I think when we stand, our heads work better for some reason. I don't know why that is, but... For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Here ends the reading of God's word, and you may be seated.
I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. That's one of the greatest statements any of us can say. But it also brings with it a difficulty. And I can't even remember how many times when someone has told me, Greg, I've decided to follow Jesus. I would say within a week, maybe less than a week, sometimes it takes 2 weeks, they come back and they're really, really frustrated. They're reading their Bibles, and they're getting something out of it, but it's frustrating sometimes. But it's not the Bible that really gets to them. It's prayer. See, they know how to talk, but when it comes to communicating with God, it becomes really frustrating. See, for them, they look at me and they say, you told me if I talk to God, he'll listen, he'll answer, and you've told me about this amazing gift that God is giving us. And, you know, for me, right, it doesn't work. Who's ever felt like prayer doesn't work? I don't get what I want. I don't know what I'm supposed to get. And it's frustrating, and especially if you've decided to follow Jesus, you sort of have this message that it's not just you trying your hardest to follow Jesus, it's actually God who has reached out to you. Before he reached out to you, he sent his son to die on the cross, and he's supposed to supply what you need to follow him, but prayer sometimes just doesn't seem to work, and it just is filled with uncertainty. How am I supposed to pray? I don't know what's supposed to happen. If I call you, it rings. And I have a pretty good, I can pretty much figure out there's going to be a couple things that will happen if I call you. One, I might hear your voice. It might be recorded, but it might be live. And we might be able to actually talk. So I know if I dial your number, one of those two things, or some of our phones don't have the kick over to message, and so what will I hear? The ring continuing. But that's a pretty straightforward expectation. I call you, get it. But when it comes to prayer, it can be confusing. I want to see the hands of everybody who's ever been frustrated feeling that prayer doesn't work or there's just too much uncertainty, and you find yourself not praying so much. Anybody? I should raise two hands. Okay. See, with prayer, we end up with a center, usually. Sometimes it centers on the person I'm most familiar with. That's me. And so my prayers can be either about me or God. If they're centered on me, there's usually an immediacy about them. And I know, you know, some of you who are really organized frequently, you're the leaders, and you know that when you set your goals, you want them to be SMART goals, right? And there's a T in SMART. And what does that stand for? It's time-oriented. There's something that we can look on a calendar, on our clocks, and it's going to be Well, maybe God's not so smart. Or he doesn't have goals like that. Because when I'm praying about me, it's got to be immediate. I can become very impatient with God. The other thing when it's about me is they tend to be physical. And I don't mean just my body, but something I can touch, see, I can access it with my senses. When I'm praying with me at the center of it, got to see it, got to hear it, got to touch it, got to feel it. Also, it's somewhere visible. When we pray like this, don't you get frustrated? I do. Now, I want to say this. This isn't wrong. Okay? It's not wrong to pray like this. But in the same way, when I speak Armenian and I mess up the conjugation of the verb, or I say hauchun instead of hauchan, those of you who speak Armenian sort of say, we get what you're saying, but you know, you can be more clear. You'll have a better experience speaking Armenian if you can just do it the way it's really supposed to be spoken instead of your version of it, Greg. And it's the same way with prayer. It's not wrong to pray for things to be time-oriented or immediate or physical things or things that are visible. But if we're going to engage God, if prayer is going to become less frustrating, there is another way, and it's when it's God-centered, we have perspective. We have perspective. How different are our prayers when we think about who we're praying to? Just even this morning, we said, what's God like? Oh, he's almighty. Oh, maybe I can pray about the thing that seems impossible to me. He's the Holy One. Maybe I shouldn't pray about that. He's merciful. Wow, maybe he will accept my confession. See, so we get a perspective when we pray with God at the center of it. We also can be more holistic about our prayers. Frequently when we pray, we think very concretely, but sometimes God really isn't interested in what I feel I need most. He's not interested primarily in me getting over my cold. It's not his biggest concern that my flared up Achilles tendon calms down. He's frequently doing something very, very different in my life. And frequently when we pray with God at the center of it, we don't need to worry about just what our eyes can see and our ears can hear, what we can touch, what we can taste. There's something more. We're going to get to that in our passage this morning. See, again, it's not wrong to pray for me, with me at the center, but it's not the most effective. And this week we took our Turkish friends to Yosemite. And it was really interesting because we were at the top of Glacier Point. Now, if you've ever been to Glacier Point, the vista is breathtaking. And one of our guests noticed a squirrel. we're taking pictures, Half Dome in the background, and one of them's like, oh, no, look at this. And they were just looking at the squirrel, and they were following the squirrel, and I thought, we've got the vista from Glacier Point, and I think they have squirrels in Turkey. That's the difference. That's the difference. Let's lift our eyes off the squirrels, and let's learn how to pray God's way. That's what we want to do. We want to learn how to pray God's way. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we really get what we're supposed to start with. We're not going to reread it, but the first half of this chapter is all about praise. Paul is writing the letter to this group of people in Asia Minor and Ephesians and several of the other areas, but he doesn't even start talking to them. I don't know if you noticed last week, but it started out with praise be to God, and he just starts praising God. As you pray, start with praise. Reflect on what God has done. Reflect on who he is, all the goodness he has in store for us, and let's focus on him. Let's praise him. And then when we start with our passage this morning, it says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Thank God for the person you're praying for. Now, some of us, when I say that, say, oh, no, Padfa, you don't know who I'm praying for. Yep. Even that person, will you begin your prayers after praise thanking God for the person who is even difficult in your life? Will you thank him that because he's God and has allowed them into your life, will you give thanks to him? Start with thanks. Paul's so excited. He's heard about these people. He lived in Ephesus for a while, but he'd been gone for 7 or 10 years. The church has exploded, and he's heard about their faith and their love, and those two things go together. Don't listen to me talk about faith if you don't see love. Don't listen to my doctrinal statement if my gut doesn't hurt to care about the needs of others. I don't want our church to be known as the perfectly clear doctrinal church that has no heart. We want our faith to be clearly grounded in God's word, and we want to be acting on it. Faith in action is love. And he's so excited because these people were expressing love for all God's people. So he gave thanks for him. And then the other thing he did is he remembered them. Remembered who God is, he remembered them. Engage your memory. Please engage your memory. You see who he calls God there? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, I will stop right there. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. I'm going to actually just change this. Another way of translating is the Father of glory, and I think we need to translate it that way. Glory is the expression of God revealing himself. It's like the rays of the sun. I love it when there's clouds in the sky or when the sun, you actually can see a sunbeam. That's like glory. That's what we're talking about. When the Bible uses the glory of God, it's the emanation, it's what proceeds from him that reveals him. So he's the Father of glory, and that's really important because that's what he's telling us to ask for. I mean, you want God's prayer list, you want to pray the way God wants us to pray. Here it is, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You want just one thing to take away from today? Ask for glory for all the people you pray for. Because if they catch a glimpse of the glory of God, they will be transformed. If they catch a glimpse of the glory of God, there will be no frustration in prayer because they will be experiencing Him. Again, God has saved us so that we could know Him, and that knowledge is not just here. It's here in our hearts too. He says that I want you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that's what we want to ask for. So in prayer, would you help me out here, please? We want to ask. We want to ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There we go. Whoops, too much. If we could ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, he's saying, I want you to have the Holy Spirit. I want you to experience the Holy Spirit. Wisdom and revelation is really, very simply, God's head and God's heart. God's head and God's heart. We want you to experience the Holy Spirit, Paul says. So you know what God thinks about this mystery that he's revealed, that he's spoken of earlier in the chapter? I want you to know God better. See, that's the goal, that you would know God better. When we talk about prayer being centered on me or centered on God, if it's on me, I tend to focus on my Achilles tendon. I tend to focus on something about the kids, maybe their homework or what's coming up. It may be that you're focusing on a decision that you have to make, and we become so focused that even though our eyes are pretty incredible, we just heard about that, all these different sensors that we've got in our eyes, the eyes of our hearts are blind. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Jesus talked about ears to hear. Paul's talking about eyes to see. Eyes to see. He says, I want you to have the Holy Spirit working in you so you can know the heart of God, know the mind of God. I want your eyes to be opened so you can know three things. And when the Bible here is using the word know, it's our head and it's our experience. Okay? It's our head and it's our experience. Is this working again? Hey, there we go. Spirit of wisdom, there we go. To know Him better. We want to have eyes to see. And so we would know three specific things. Please look verse 18, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. The hope to which He has called you. These are three things we want to know. Hope to which He has called us, the riches of His inheritance that's in His holy people, it's in His saints. And then finally, we want to know His incomparably great power. Mighty strength, its power. These are three things that he wants us to know. What's our hope? What is our hope in Christ? I mean, all these things that are listed here that we would experience being the adopted children of God, that we would experience forgiveness. We know it, we can preach it, we can say it, but do you experience the forgiveness of God? Even the fourth or fifth time you've done it and you're wondering, can He still do it? Can He still forgive me? The answer is yes. So he's praying that the Holy Spirit will impress upon us God's heart, God's mind, that we would know the hope to which you're called. What do you use riches for? Riches of your inheritance. No, it's not the riches of your inheritance. Did you catch it? The riches of His inheritance. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. You, the people of God, are His inheritance. You belong to Him. If I have riches or resources, it's something I draw on when I'm in need. Every one of us needs to catch on to the fact that we belong to God. You can be sitting in this church and feel absolutely alone. You can feel, for whatever reason, that you've got no connection. You can go to a Fresno State game, be with tens of thousands of people, and you can feel alone. You can go to a concert. You're in your chair enjoying the music, and you can, do I belong here? You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere and know that you belong to God. You belong to God. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you belong to Him. He looks at you and says, "You're mine." That's His inheritance. His incomparably great power. The words that He uses, this is every now and then Greek does help in the study. He's using the words hyper. He's using the word mega. He's using the word dynamic. All these words that come into English. The incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Every one of us feels weak at some time or another. We sometimes are, do we have what it takes? And Paul's saying, you need to know there's power. There is power available to you. So he wants you to know three things: your hope, the riches of His inheritance, and the power that is available to every one of us. When you think about hope, that seems like it's the future. His inheritance enters now. And boy, oh boy, do we need His power. I'm not sure exactly why. It may be because life is moving so fast. It may be that we just have so many more commitments that people had in the past. But I see more and more people who go to church, or who don't, but name Jesus, and we are discouraged. We are discouraged. We feel poor and needy, and we feel weak. And every one of these is available to us in Christ. We may focus on us, and I'll focus about a decision I need to make, but you know, it's not just this decision I need. I need my hope daily. I need to know who I am daily, and I need to experience the power of God daily, or it won't matter if He tells me to take this job or that job, or to go talk to this person or another person, or to invest in this account, or to go after this person for a sale. It won't matter if I'm missing all of this. I may make it through the day. I may have food on my plate, in my fridge. But we're discouraged. We feel poor and needy, and we're weak. And so God wants us to know these three things. He wants us to know it. Do you? I want you to think for a second. What would happen if someone prayed this for you? What would happen different tomorrow if someone prayed this for you and God answered? See, prayer gets frustrating when we do it our way. Prayer gets frustrating when we forget that God is a part of it and He wants to do something. He has saved us so we can know and experience Him. Got to just get this one last picture. The power. The power of our God. He's raised Jesus from the dead. So there's power over death. There's power over death. Every one of us is afraid of dying. We've never done it before. We're pretty sure there's pain involved. Jesus was raised from the dead. That kind of power is available. Above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God over every other name, every other title, every other authority forever. So why am I so scared? Why are you so insecure? There's power. We have nothing to be afraid of. We all laughed when our Turkish brothers and sisters tell us that they go back to Turkey and, yeah, they'll probably get arrested sometime. They'll be harassed at some point. And we go, oh, gosh, they're so amazing. Wow, wish I could have that kind of faith. Wish my God. Oh, we have the same God. Same power that's available to them. We look at the persecuting church and say, oh, they're amazing. We look back at our forefathers. Oh, how could they say, I'd rather die for Jesus than convert to Islam? Wow, I wish I had that kind of power. I wish that was available to me. Stop wishing. Start praying. That kind of power is available to every one of us right now. Unless you're looking at squirrels. All the power of the risen Christ, who is seated in the heavenly realms above all power and authority, everything is placed under his feet. You've got to catch this, the end of verse 22, to be head over everything for the church. For the church. Say it with me. For the church. His power is not just for creation. His power is not just to provide for our daily needs. His power is for the church, so his people aren't gripped with fear. In our nation now, fear is the watchword. If I want to get a following, all I have to do is start a blog that'll get people afraid. Everyone is focused on fear, fear, fear. Power, power, power. The hyper, mega, dynamic power of the living God is available to us. You may have decided to follow Jesus, but long before you did that, God made a choice to call you his child, and he has offered us a gift, and that gift is prayer. And he is saying, I want you to know the hope that you have in me. Don't get trapped and discouraged by what seems to be so big right here, right now, in front of your face. He says, I want you to know the glorious riches of my inheritance. Do you know who your daddy is? We belong to him. And he wants you to know that there is power. There is power. There is power. Let's get the big view. I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I want you to think of three people. And when you have three people that you're going to be willing to pray for, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to take this prayer to pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the heart and the mind of God to three people. I want you to do it every day. Gosh, oh, really, Bob? Yes, three people every day that they would know the hope of their calling, the riches of their inheritance, and the power of Christ that's available to them. Go ahead and raise your hand. When you have three. We've already gone over time, so we're just going to wait. Three people that you will pray for. Some of you may not be expressing it, that's okay, but if your hand is down because you're not going to pray, why not? Why would you not want to join in to God's incredible gift to experience His power? Please stand for the benediction. May the God of all grace, who has seated His Son in the heavenly places on a throne and has put you on His lap, may that God empower you to pray so that His power, His glory, and your hope would carry you. If you mom or dad, Jesus Christos is snorka, horas zosera, if sur pokvu in har taksuchina, mer amen in hedala. Amen. Strength arises.